When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday, which means it's time for the coach approach. It's me and the main man, Ant from 49ers Cutback. How you doing, brother?
Doing great. And offseason is in full swing. You know, people are getting connected to the 49ers like crazy. And then I watch a Myles Garrett interview with Mina Kimes, and he's talking about how he needs to be in a 4-3, and he started describing all this stuff. You got Fred Warner saying, oh, yeah, we want him on the team. I'm just right now, it's one of those times where you're just excited. You don't know what anything is going to happen. It's all a complete crapshoot, but it's exciting. And thank goodness we need it, especially this week.
Yeah, I'm with you big time there. And it's just fun. You know, whenever you get these rumors swirling around and it's just like, come on, man. Yeah, George Kittle said, hey, I promise you we'll be good friends and all this kind of stuff. Like, yeah, let's just get it going. Let's get it going. So today it's the 49ers. You make the call. I came up with two topics that I kind of like that I want to ask Ant. And Ant came up with a couple topics that he's going to ask me. And we're just going to bounce this around. We're going to be talking draft. We're going to be talking free agency. We're going to be talking players currently on the roster. We're going to be going all over the place. And we're not just talking first round picks, even though we'll dive into that. It's going to be fun. And I do have to say, I got to start the show off right. The reason why we didn't have a show last week is 100% on my fault. And really, if we're going to be honest, every time we don't have a coach approach on Thursday, 99.9% of the time, it's John Chapman's fault. So I just want to say my bad, everybody. That's on me. Hopefully we make that up to you today on this show. So here we go. Let's start talk with George Kittle. You referenced kind of, you know, the conversation that was going on with Mina Kimes. I mean, there's just been so much. Super Bowl row is off the charts. But whenever he was talking with Kay Adams, George Kittle said his people, his agent, and the 49ers are currently in the works working on an extension. Man, talk about good offseason vibes. How do you feel about this? Extending George Kittle even more years. He signed through one more. But, man, after what he did last year, he's still the best tight end in the game. What are your thoughts there, Ant?
Yeah, I think he's still playing at such a high level that it makes sense. His body hasn't broken down. He's still been able to play. He doesn't play 17-game seasons, but he does play usually, you know, 13 to 15 around there. And when he plays, he's an all-pro player. And so having him as a staple on your football team, you have to have it. Number one, There's nobody in the league at tight end that blocks like him that can also catch and play receiver the way that he does. He's a unicorn. And so you have to have him in this offense. And he's proven that he's still going to play at a high level, probably for the next 3 or 4 years. It also helps the 49ers with an extension, freeing up more cap space. So that way they can go make moves and go make things happen. And I think this is just one of the dominoes that's going to happen this offseason. They still got to address Brock Purdy. They probably are going to address Fred Warner's contract as well. And when all said and done, they might have about $70 million in cap space that they're going to be able to use or roll over like they like to do. So they are definitely in the mix to go in big on 2025. And George Kittle is a big reason why. But they need his production, especially early in the season, when it's likely that Brandon Ayuk might not be ready. So I think this is a smart move by the 49ers.
Man, one of my favorite things, you know, if you've ever been in the 49ers locker room, they have a wall, and it's the decade 49ers wall. Players that have been on the team for 10-plus years. And these are kind of the guys that represent what it means most to be a 49ers player. And George Kittle's not signed through his 10th year. So without this, you know, extension, George Kittle ain't going to be a 10-year Niner. Are you kidding me? Like, that's stupid. And currently, Fred Warner, guess what? He's signed through the 2026 season, but that would be his 9th year. He's not scheduled to be a decade Niner. And those things just do not sit right with me. There's only one player that is currently signed through his 10-year 49ers whatever. Do you know who that is, Ant? Do you have a guess who it is? There's only one player.
I'm going to go – is it – ooh. I'm thinking – in my head, it's automatically going Trent Williams?
No, not Trent Williams. Nick Bosa, signed through 2028, which would be his 10th year. So there is only currently one player under contract – through their 10th year. Now, the last guys, and shout out to Juice Touchdown Guy, who's a listener of the show. Vernon Davis, even though he got traded in the middle of his 10th season, that still counts. Frank Gore, Joe Staley. Those are the last three, which I'm like, yeah, those are decade 49ers players. Now it's time for the new fold. I want Kittle. I want Warner and Bosa. That's cool, too. You know, I love Bosa. Everybody loves Bosa. He's such a damn good player. I am curious if he could return to that dominant season that we saw in 2021, right? Yeah, I think that's whenever he got it. Was it 2022 or 2021?
2022, I believe.
Oh, there you go. You nailed it. 2022, 18 and a half sacks. But even in 2021, 15 and a half sacks. The past 2 years definitely have not been – he's still great, but – yeah, we got to get back to that 2021, 2022, Nick Bosa, which would be awesome. Now, let's appreciate all the hashtags. He sees everybody saying what's up to Ant. Yeah, he's the best, man. Juice is not signed through 10 years. Right. This is the last year of his contract, and he took that pay cut. He came over with the 2017 group, but I don't know if Juice is going to make it. I wish that he would, but I don't know. They already asked him to take a pay cut last year. They could make him take another one this year. We'll have to see there. What's up, man? Eric Oaks, I like this. Good afternoon, man. Two of my three favorite 49ers informationalists. Also throwing in Wayne. Wayne's the best. So first question. Here we go. Let's talk about free agency. So my question to you, Ant, can you give me 2 to 3 positions? If you want to throw in names, cool. What are 2 or 3 positions you want addressed in free agency? You want a veteran kind of approach there instead of the young bucks, instead of the draft. And it doesn't mean that if you name a position, don't draft that. But you're just like, man, I need experience. I need somebody that knows what they're doing. And at these positions, what are some of the ones that come to mind?
I think number one has to be center. I think we've seen the 49ers address center when it comes to free agency a couple of times. Weston Richburg, also with Alex Mack. And both of those times, yeah, it didn't work out. Mack retired a little bit earlier than I think they were hoping he would. And with Weston Richburg, it was injuries. But that's a position the 49ers have proven that they need not only a veteran, but one of the positions they'll actually invest in. So I think that this is one they need to hit this season. They need to upgrade from Jake Brendel. Jake Brendel just hasn't been able to be consistent. And that's one of the keys to playing that position. And that's even one of the rules of Chris Forrester. And I thought he was very inconsistent this season. You would get a game where, hey, it wasn't so bad. He actually did a pretty good job. And then you would get games that it was just like, what are we watching? This guy should not be on the field. And I think that's one of the problems. So Drew Dolman getting somebody like that, you know, a Ryan Kelly getting somebody in that could
that's
be
who
a
I
veteran.
Want. That I everybody keeps talking Drew Dolman, and I get it. I understand. I think he's awesome. But Ryan Kelly is the premium free agent center. I don't think they're going to – there's a chance neither one of them get let go. But, man, oh, I love Ryan Kelly. I've always loved Ryan Kelly coming out of Alabama. And I hate almost all Alabama players, but I was like, this center, I freaking love that dude. So, I'm with you at that position. It makes it a little easier knowing that this center draft isn't quite as good as it has been the past 3 to 4 years. I think that that helps. What are your thoughts on Matt Hennessy? For somebody that would say, well, maybe we already got that veteran center in the building. Do you think that there's a possibility that he could push Jake Brendel or no?
I think there's a possibility anyone could push Jake Brendel at this point. You just need to get a little bit better play at the position. And I do think Matt Hennessy's a possibility, but I think they need to take a swing. I mean, I don't mind. Let Matt Hennessy become your Ben Garland. I think they need to just take a swing and hit somebody that can be the guy with Brock Purdy for the next 4 or 5 years. And that's why Dolman's a little bit more appealing to a lot of people. He's only 26 years old. But I think this has to be addressed in free agency. I think Matt Hennessy, Nick Zakel. I mean, Nick Zakel is one of the best pass blockers on the football team when you're talking interior offensive linemen, but the run blocking's not there right now. So you've got some situations that you need to address, and I think it starts with Dolman, but he might be priced out too much, but we'll see. But they can't go into another season, and they might go into another season with Jake Brendel as center, but I think this one has to be addressed. It's a must need. I think that will elevate the entire offensive line if they take care of it.
Man, turning weaknesses into strengths. It's just what I believe in. It's what I want to see. Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida? And here's the thing. Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in or out as quick as 15 minutes. And now they offer MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account for this sports season. So head to prizepicks.com, use the link in the description of this podcast, or download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code 49ers. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, here's my favorite thing about this is it's just so simple. You pick two players, and let's say you're into basketball. Is Steph Curry going to score over 26.5 points? Is Jimmy Butler going to score over 20.5 points? Over, under, you get paid. If you get it right, that's where it is. So go to Prize Picks and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. Did you know last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America? Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers, but it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns helps grow your money into more of your money. Imagine if you started saving a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how you would feel if you started investing what you already have. Well, with Acorns, it makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, or your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich either. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your personal spare change. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/49ers. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So you named center. Any other positions that jump out that you want a veteran free agent added as opposed to just a draft pick?
Yeah, I think tight end. I think they need to get a veteran tight end. I know they're going to draft a tight end as well. I think this is one of those positions you double up. You get someone in free agency. You get someone in the draft. But they have just struck out when it comes to tight end. Eric Saubert, that's not it. Jake Tungis, he didn't barely get on the field all season. That's not it. It's not Braden Willis. We tried that. It didn't work. So they've got a hit on somebody that's a veteran. A couple of guys that I like because I want to get a blocking tight end, somebody that could come in and give production the way Charlie Warner did. That's when the run game really went well, is when Charlie Warner was here. Now, Charlie Warner type players are not easy to come by, but there's a couple of guys that block pretty well. I think it starts with blocking with Mo Alie-Cox. He's an older guy, but a guy you could bring in that can block, that can make the occasional catch. He's a better receiving threat than Charlie Warner ever was. So I like him. Big body, 6'6", you know, 260 pounds. He's a huge guy. And then the one that everyone's talking about, and I've loved him since he was at Notre Dame, is Tommy Tremble. 24 years old, young guy, can still block. Versatility to play in the backfield with an H-back type. He can play move tight end. He can play inline. I think he's got receiving upside if he's used correctly. I don't think Carolina ever used him correctly. Those are a couple of guys I would look at. And then, of course, there's always the guys that Kyle Shanahan has worked with before. So Austin Hooper has to be mentioned as well, somebody that could fit in. And I think he would fit. I think those are the three top targets if I'm going for a free agent tight end that I would hit.
Oh, I like it. And, you know, anytime you talk about an Indianapolis player, you know they're a threshold drafting team. You know they're huge. And I'm with you. I want size. You know, we usually go after those smaller O-linemen, but bigger tight ends. I'm all in on Mo Alie-Cox. Any of those guys, to be honest with you, would be a huge upgrade. I think so. Now, some of the people jumping in here, shout out to my man Kevin. He says, center, free safety. What are your thoughts? Because I think safety is another spot I personally would like to attack in free agency, mainly because it's been so devalued, right? Like, I like looking at positions that are getting overpaid versus underpaid. I'm like, man, safety's top of the list. Ain't nobody paying safeties. You get them off the scrap heap right before the season starts. Just nobody's paying these guys. There's a few Jet players that I think kind of fit that with Ashton Davis and Jalen Mills. And, you know, both those guys played special teams. You have the Jets special teams coordinator. You have the Jets defensive coordinator back now. Any of those guys kind of stand out to you as a free safety center fielder or somebody else maybe in that safety market that you would not be upset if we brought them over?
Yeah, I think it's likely that the 49ers probably go after Ashton Davis. I think that's probably the biggest fit. You're talking about Cal Roots, also the speed that he could display at free safety. But he also didn't play a lot of snaps. He only played like a little over 230 snaps last season. But those were good snaps. He had two interceptions. He was able to play well. You brought up his special teams abilities. I think those all play out. But I think he could be more of a guy that comes in as a backup role who plays special teams. I don't know if he gets a starting job. So I think after that, you're addressing it with guys like Julian Blackman, who they talked to last year, but he didn't want to be replaced by Talanoa Hufanga halfway through the season. The way that, you know, number 59 freaked out when a guy better than him came in and decided he was going to, you know, start playing again. So I think that there's a couple of guys like that. I think there's really not a ton of guys that I love in coverage. I know a lot of people are bringing up Javon Holland, but he's been bad in coverage, been really good against the run, so seems redundant. Trevon Moorwig was also really bad in coverage last season, so he seems redundant. Really good around the line of scrimmage, but guess what? We got those guys, Malik Mustafa.
Yeah.
You could re-sign Talanoa Hufanga. Finding a guy that can do everything and do the deep third is a little bit more difficult to find in free agency this year. I do think there's some guys that have played good that are older, you know, guys that they're familiar with, a guy like Quandre Diggs or Marcus May. those could be some cheap options that play a Tashaun Gibson type role. But besides that, I'm not huge on the free safety market. I think they might address it there, but I think the free safeties they need to really hit are probably in the draft. And that's going to be a point of emphasis, is to get another safety and somebody that can run. And I think there's some good options in the draft.
Yeah, the thing I'm most excited about for the combine, which I love the combine anyway, is when the defensive backs run their 40s. I want to see these safeties. I want a 4-5 or better safety player drafted. Even if you go veteran free agent safety, which is cool. But, man, I want fast. I want speed. I want lightning quick. I'm channeling my inner Mick here from Rocky, right? You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crap thunder. Like, I want speed out there. So, I love it. Great answers. Hey, I'm going to turn it over to you now. I know you got a couple topics. Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's have some fun. I got one for you. I want a couple of guys from rounds 3 and 5 in the draft that the 49ers should target. Everyone's talking 11, everyone's talking 43. No one's talking 75 and 99 or even beyond that. Who's a couple of guys that you see the 49ers could target in later rounds?
Man, I'll say this because I've talked about a couple of these players before that I really, really like. And so if I'm going to look at defensive line, which I think is probably the biggest need in this draft, I'm going to go a guy from Miami, Simeon Barrow Jr., who I'm really, really excited about. I really, really like his tape. And whenever I look at just kind of what the 49ers do, every single time I look at it, I'm just like, dude, this guy kind of fits every single thing that the Niners like. Experience, versatility, burst, run defender. If you can't play against the run, you're not on my board. I'm still going to do an evaluation. But Simeon Barrow Jr., Miami, 6'3", 291. He fits that ideal prototype. He's got 1,800-plus snaps. That's experience level 9 for defensive tackles. And versatility. He can play all over the place. Leverage experience, elite run defender who is great at the point of attack. Multiple block field goals. Special teams emphasis. I like that. Leverage is great. Plays sound run gap defense. Violent hands. Good versus double teams. Pass rush, he wins early or not at all. That's why I think he goes in that round 3, 4, 5 area that you're talking about. Because in today's NFL, if you cannot provide elite pass rush from the interior, you fall. I saw somebody in the chat throw up Puna Ford, who's like one of my all-time favorite Longhorns. Man, I wish I could find this, but I can't see it, and I apologize. But, like, yeah, here we go, Invader. Of course it's Invader. He's my burner account. Like, you can go get a guy, veteran Puna Ford, or you can draft a guy like Simeon Barrow Jr. that could step in and just immediately help this team. It's not going to cost a premium pick. It really isn't. But, man, just remember the midpoint of the season last year where we were just trying to throw defensive tackles in there and we could not stop the run. And you go to those games, the division games that you lost against the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the Rams when we couldn't stop the run. It is the major, major weakness on this team. That's one of those guys. I know everybody's going to talk about first round, second round. But if you told me we got Simeon Barrow Jr. in the fourth round, I'm ecstatic. Because that's somebody that's going to make your team better, force teams in third and long. I'd take him over Kalia Davis right now. That's one of the guys. Any thoughts on Simeon Barrow Jr. that you want to share? Or have you looked into him yet? I know it's so funny. We were talking before the show. Like, it's hard to know something about all these guys. And especially somebody that's like doing multiple hours of work a day. I'm still like, you guys throw out in the chat, y'all throw out a name, but I'm like, how have I missed this guy? But yeah, any thoughts on defensive tackle, what the 49ers are kind of looking for there?
Yeah, I think he fits the bill. This is one guy that I actually have looked at. And when you're talking about, like you said, all the measurables, the first step, the get off, the aggressiveness, it all fits. He's a penetrator. He's a disruptor. Those are the type of players the 49ers obviously go for. And it's interesting because I've seen so many people talking about run stoppers and they want to get these big physical defensive tackles. And the 49ers really haven't went that way. They did it a couple of times, guys like Hassan Ridgeway, guys like that. But really they go with guys who disrupt and penetrate. That's kind of the Chris Kocerek and the 49ers defensive line way. and he fits the bill. So when you land on guys like that, I think it really makes sense. So I love that possibility, especially when you're talking fourth round, because I'd love to see the 49ers double up at defensive tackle. And if they get someone early and then they get someone in the middle rounds, I think they've really reestablished themselves as far as depth-wise. And I think they needed to improve depth at defensive tackle and get a competition for a Kalia Davis and for Evan Anderson. So, yeah, I like that one. That was a good one.
Yeah. A couple other ones that are out here just as far as defensive tackles go that I do like. Ty Robinson, Nebraska. I think that he's a stud, Vince. Barrel getting shout out. Love it. I feel like he's not been talked about at all, to Ann's point. Yeah, look, there are shows that are going to just debate the 11 pick and the 43 pick nonstop. We want to dig a little bit deeper. We want to expose a couple names that are going out there. Yeah, Walter Nolan, Kenneth Grant, would love those guys. J.J. Pegues, love Pegues. He's a stud. Get another Ty Robinson. Howard Cross, good one. Like there's a lot of quality. This defensive tackle draft, great. And you love it when your need matches a class. And I'm thankful the 49ers don't need a quarterback because this ain't it. And I'm thankful the 49ers do need defensive linemen because this is it. Yeah, you're going to be able to get your choice there. Right here, Mike, how many quality defensive tackles have you found in the draft? Man, a plethora? Could I say that word? Could it be a guap? There's a lot. I don't have an exact number. I'm still digging. I'm still adding names, which is not healthy at this point in the draft process, but we just got to keep going. Now, another guy, I'm sticking on defense. I'm doing all defense on guys that the defense is an issue. Linebacker out of Oregon, Jeffrey Bosa. We got a Bosa. Let's get a Bosa. Again, I think that he goes late, day three guy, kind of that round 4, 5, 6, because he's undersized, 6'1", 266. We have the official measurements now from the Senior Bowl. I really, really like his tape. I liked his tape way more than I liked his weigh-in. Speed, physicality, but small. And so because he doesn't have the height, he doesn't have the weight, can he add more? I don't know. He's a converted safety. But you're talking about a coverage linebacker, which the 49ers, that's been an Achilles heel ever since Dre Greenlaw got hurt. We can't get anybody to cover out there. Even D. Winters, who's a solid coverage guy, he was getting toasted out there. But I think that Jeffrey Bosa out of Oregon, solid blitzer, can do it all. The only negatives on him, it's not tape, it's not production, it's not stats, it's just size. And so because of that, I think he falls, but you're getting a better player than you are a prospect. And that's what day three is all about. I just think that this is a guy that can kind of do it all. His missed tackle rate's incredible, under 10%. Coverage grade's over 70%. A linebacker that can kind of just do everything. Experience level 9. He was the dot guy. He called the defense, quarterback of the defense. Versatility, I don't think he'd go back to safety. I don't think he'd do slot. He is a number 2, number 3 linebacker only at the next level. And with the kind of importance at coverage continuing to be more and more paramount, Jeffrey Bosa is a guy that I would love in the fourth or fifth round.
I'm glad you brought him up. Jeffrey Bosa has been one of my fun watches. I enjoy him. I think that he has a really good instinct for finding the ball. He's able to find his open windows, get downhill, and he's able to evade blockers. It's not always with physicality, but he's also able to dip underneath. But he's got good work as far as shedding blocks as well. For an undersized guy, he does a good job. He uses his leverage. I like him a lot. I think this is a 49ers type guy. We don't care about measurables. We care about good football players, and he's a good football player. So let everyone else care about measurables. When we get to the middle rounds, we'll strike on good players. I think Jeffrey Bosa would be a great addition to a linebacker room that really needs to be addressed. The cupboard's pretty bare, and I think that he's got the versatility the 49ers look for. A guy, like you said, like D. Winters, which is way different from Tatum Bethune, who they're hoping they can develop into a guy that can cover, but right now hasn't been able to show it. Bosa, more of a dual threat at linebacker. So I love that one. He's been one of my favorite watches that I've had at linebacker so far, trying to find middle-round linebackers the 49ers could grab because they do need to upgrade that position.
Yeah, I like that. So Trey right here. We've got a little bit of a lag going on. It's not letting me highlight the comments. I'm clicking on them. It's just not bringing him over. Right here, Trey Hall, my man, do we think Dre Greenlaw is coming back? Because I think that this affects all of it. Is Dre Greenlaw going to be a guy that comes back? In your opinion, what do you think?
I think so now. I think you get Nick Bosa coming out and saying Robert Saleh is very adamant that Dre Greenlaw is going to be back. I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan feel the same way. And then you hear Fred Warner make the comments about he's better with Dre and how Dre affects him. I think that they can make this happen. I think part of the reason they make it happen, Dre's market's not going to be as big as if he would have been coming off that season he had the year before. But this one, he's coming off injury, and then he couldn't stay right. I think that will make teams a little reluctant to give him a long-term contract or big-time money, so it could be more affordable. I do think the 49ers will still pay a little bit more than what's projected right now. I think it comes in around 1 year, $10 million, or 2 years, $20 million, and then they figure out how to spread the money out. But I think he comes back. Yeah, I think he comes back, and I think he eventually goes out and wants to hit free agency again, and maybe the 49ers can decide something different with a different type of salary cap. But I do think they get him back at least for 2025, and I'm hoping longer than that.
Yeah, I like that. I hope we get him back. And again, you spread that money around, you keep this guy here, and even if you do draft like a Bosa or you bring in a free agent, Dre Greenlaw is the cream of the crop. He is exactly what you want. Gosh, bring him back. A lot of other linebacker names: Oscar, A+, Carson Schlesinger. I've been doing work on him this morning out of UCLA. I like him a lot. My biggest problem is he hasn't played. He's got less than 1,000 snaps. He has the least amount of snaps of almost any draft-eligible linebacker. But, man, you turn on his tape. If you watch the tape, you love him. His instincts, range, speed, everything, all you could ever want. Coverage is great. He diagnoses the play like crazy. Dude's played 800 snaps. Like, I don't know what to do with that guy. Barrett Carter, good. Chris Paul Jr., good. There's some solid day three linebackers you can get. Bruner out of Washington is nice, too. We got Mondin from Georgia, Dak Kaiser. Like, man, Stutzman, what do you do with Stutzman? Do you put him, is he a safety? Is he a linebacker? What do you do with that guy? But, yeah, there's a lot of these versatile kind of defensive pieces that the Niners kind of covet. Are you a safety? Are you a linebacker? Are you a slot? Well, you're all three of the above. The Niners will put you wherever you go. And so linebacker, I don't think it's a top end, because most of the top tier off-ball linebackers are now edge rushers, right? Like, if we go back a decade ago, Jalen Walker would have been an off-ball linebacker only. Now he's an edge rusher. You say the same for Jihad Ward or Jihad Campbell. Like, these guys were off-ball linebackers a decade ago, 5 years ago. Now, can you rush the pass? Can you do that? And if you can, that's where we're going to put you, just because I think that's so important. So I want to turn it back to you real quick. I've got way too many guys to talk about here. Do you have a third to fifth round pick that you kind of want to highlight that maybe isn't getting the attention that they should, that could be a 49ers target?
Yeah, I do have someone, and it's Chase Lunt, offensive tackle from UConn. And the reason is this is not somebody that's plug and play. You're not going to put him in. He's going to start at right tackle in year one. But you're talking 6'8", 305, and he can absolutely move in the open field. And so that's what I really love about him. That's what caught my eye, his athleticism. When he's out there running, it's very Mike McGlinchey-esque, where he's just moving. He can change direction. He can flip his hips and turn someone on a dime. I think the 49ers are going to fall in love with that type of player because it fits their run scheme so well. There's still development that needs to happen with him, and I think a year away possibly from being able to compete for a job. But we've got Colt McKivitz for one more year under contract. They are good about drafting guys that come in and then the next year take over. I think Chase Lunt could be one of those guys. He fits the bill for what Chris Forster wants, and 1 year in a pro system getting a little bit stronger. And I think you're talking about a guy that could easily put on size to be 315, 320 and not lose movement skills. And I think he would fit nice because of the way he handles the run blocking. And we all know Chris Forster thinks, let's get run blockers first most of the time, and we'll develop the pass protection. And I think he could be a target, especially rounds 3 to 4, depending on how the tackle market works out.
Do y'all see how we gave Ant just an opportunity to talk about anything? and he went straight O-line. Always on brand, my friend. And again, if there was anybody that named, like, that nailed that Dominique Pooney pick, it was you, my friend. So whatever Ant talks, all line, O-line, you listen. And hey, you want it? Let's dig down. Let's jump further down the rabbit hole. Chase Lunt, he's an Arlington kid, Texas, played at Arlington Martin, the same high school. Miles Garrett, you heard it here first. Miles Garrett and Chase Lunt. I'm just joking, but the connections are there. My favorite thing about Chase Lunt, 49 games start at right tackle. Gosh, and I know whenever you hear Mike McGlinchey anything, we kind of cringe. Understand, Mike McGlinchey is one of the top paid right tackles in the NFL, and there are a lot of things that guy does amazingly well. Pass pro against power rushers, just not one of them. But Mike McGlinchey is one of the top five run game blockers at the right tackle position in the NFL. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. If Chase Lunt can block like Mike McGlinchey can and develop at right tackle, man, there's no way we're drafting a left tackle, sitter, right tackle in the first three rounds. Not going to happen. I wish it would, but it's not. So some of these guys that the 49ers draft are going to have to be later picks, like a Chase Lunt. Am I saying that right? Is it Lunt?
I think so, yeah.
L-U-N-D-T, Lunt.
Yeah.
There we go. We got it. All right. Now, before we get to our second round of questions, we got the Super Bowl, which everybody hates, but it's what it is. If you're going to bet on anything, you know where you got to go. The wild ride on the road to New Orleans is almost over. The big game is just around the corner. So, for fans looking to cash in on the Super Bowl, MyBookie is where it's at. They packed in promotions, props, and features that make betting on this event not just exciting, but seriously profitable. You can bet on props. Listen to these. How long will the national anthem last? Will somebody trip during the halftime performance? You can even talk about, man, are there going to be a taunting penalty called? Will the president tweet during the game? Which commercials will appear first, Budweiser or Coca-Cola? You want to go cars, Toyota or Jeep commercial first? Netflix or Amazon have a commercial first? All the way down to, what color will the Gatorade shower be? And if you like squares, guess what? Make every quarter count. You can play for as little as $1.25 and win big with prize pools up to $10,000. So, with everything from the Super Bowl props to live betting, MyBookie is ultimate destination. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan the promo code next to me. It's going to take care of you, and you're going to get a boosted bonus when you make your first deposit. So if you're betting anywhere, make sure to bet with MyBookie on the big game. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Oh, I want to say shout out to Kyle Kaiser. I didn't see this. I don't know if it's in my notes, but Kyle, you're the man. He nailed the Lunt is from Martin High School. I freaking love it. You guys are the best. Shout out to my main man, Rusty. He says, with the number of guys that didn't show Niner values at the end of the season, we might need more play now draft picks. I'm cool with that. We played a lot of rookies last year. And Ant, I'm going to put you on the GM pedestal here with my man, Soul. You pick up the phone, Cleveland's on the other end. They say, we want Leonard Floyd, our first and third next year, not this year, for Miles Garrett. What do you say? Yes or no? You taking it? You leaving it? Leonard Floyd, first and third next year.
100%. I wouldn't even think about it. I mean, I go pack up Floyd and take him there myself personally, rent him an apartment, rent him whatever he needs. Like, yeah, this is a no-brainer, and we get to keep our picks this year. That's 100%. Yeah, that's easy money right there.
I like it. All right, let's jump back to our topics. I want to know more about the current roster, the players that the 49ers already have on schedule. So here's my question. Can you name a player or two that's still on their rookie deal, meaning first, second, third, fourth year, that could surprise us this year? Somebody that maybe hasn't gotten a lot of playing time, whatever else. Give me a player or two that we already know a lot about but hasn't played much for us that could surprise us in a positive way that's currently on the roster on their rookie deal.
Yeah, this one was probably one of the most complicated questions that we had on the docket, because when you started looking at guys who are still on rookie contracts, there's either guys that you feel don't have the potential to be anything more than what they've been, guys like Darrell Luter Jr., where it's like, I don't know what's going on with this guy, or Kalia Davis that's underperformed. So it was trying to find guys you felt could do more. And I thought that one of the guys that I felt could do more is Ricky Pearsall. And I know that's probably an easy one, but ooh, Pearsall is going to get a bigger role in 2025 than he had in 2024. And I think that a lot of people had kind of settled in on the fact that maybe Pearsall wasn't a first-round talent guy and that he could do a little bit of things. But I think that Ricky Pearsall proved towards the end of the season that this guy can be a big-time player. When you look up and all of a sudden this guy had over 400 yards receiving, I think that he can do a lot more in this system, and they're probably going to ask him to do a lot more. I think Ricky Pearsall could have a huge season where we're starting to talk about, hey, this guy is one of the top wide receivers on the 49ers team. That's how impactful I think he could be. The way he carries himself, he's already a veteran when it comes to the way he carries himself. Now he just has to get the mental and also the work. Now he's going to have a full offseason. I think Ricky Pearsall, sky's the limit for him, especially this season.
I was not expecting that. I didn't know his answer. So here's my question, okay? You have four wide receivers that are, man, we only play, you know, two wide receiver, three wide receiver sets. So assuming Ayuk comes back, assuming Debo doesn't get traded, that contract's not very tradable, and Juwan Jennings, who's the best wide receiver of the bunch, do you see that Debo and Pearsall kind of continue to share that flanker slot role? Like, and I know you didn't dive into all this, and so I apologize, but my the gerbil in my head is running as fast as it can. It needs an inhaler. But I'm just like, man, where does Ricky Pearsall play next year? Is it just that Debo slot role that like, I don't know. How are you seeing this play out with the snap rate and wide receivers like share? What do you envision there?
Yeah, I think part of the thing that I'm thinking of is I don't know what Brandon Ayuk's going to look like early. But Brandon Ayuk is normally the Iron Man, gets so many snaps, where I think that Juwan Jennings is going to have to play some X, and Debo is probably going to want – they're going to want to keep his snaps low, especially early in the season. I think this is a smart way to go as you're getting guys who are a little bit aging in their production in the NFL, time in the NFL. You got to get guys that can rotate. I think Ricky Pearsall is going to take a little bit of snaps away from Jennings. I think he's going to take a little bit of snaps away from Debo. But in the grand scheme, it's going to keep them both more healthy. Last year, Juwan Jennings missed games because of injury. Debo always has moments where he's down and a little bit out. And then you've got to bridge the gap for Brandon Ayuk whenever he comes back, or at least works back in. I think that's where Pearsall kind of makes his money and makes some big-time plays for this team. And I think once he gets going, Kyle's going to find ways to get him on the field. And so I think that's part of the reason why I think Debo snaps go down, Juwan Jennings snaps go down a little bit, and Ricky Pearsall snaps go up to kind of meet them a little bit as they get more of a shared snap count.
I would love that. And this question from Eric Oaks. All right, we're going to put your feet to the fire, Ant. Ricky Pearsall, over under 1,000, let's do total yards, because I would probably put the over under at about 770, but over under total yards, his reverses, hands off, all that stuff, 1,000 yards this season. What do you say?
I still say it's under. I think you have too many playmakers that are going to get the ball. Christian McCaffrey will be back in the lineup. He's going to get the ball a lot. George Kittle, you're just going to pay him. He's going to get the ball a lot. So I don't think he's going to get that, but I think we could see Ricky Pearsall get, you know, 650, somewhere around there. That's just receiving yards. That's a potential for him to get, depending on when Ayuk comes back. And I look for him to make more plays. He's proven he can make catches over the middle. He's got yards after the catch ability. I'd love to see him get more quick screens, some of those reverses. So, yeah, I think 650, 750 yards total for him would be probably the sweet spot in year two.
Yeah, and, you know, Kyle right here, I know we're talking this year, but I don't think Debo gets traded because of the contract. You look at that contract, it was – Debo's agent set it up. I don't want to be traded. I want to dictate where I want to go. I don't think that he does get traded. Juwan Jennings, who I love the most, but man, both are in the last year of their deals. And so Kyle's comment here, if you're looking 2026 beyond, he says, Ayuk needs to transform into a true wide receiver one. I think Ayuk has been that for 2 years out of his career. Pearsall, wide receiver two. Jennings stays wide receiver three. So 2026, you're looking at Ayuk 1, Pearsall 2, Cowing you know, or somebody else, you know, and get it. I don't know what that's going to look like. You're losing Jennings, you're losing Debo, and I don't think that you can pay all those wide receivers. We are now, but that's not a sustained recipe for success. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to change a little bit in the future. This is the last year. We got a ball, but it's going to be short-lived. So I do think that we have enough with Jennings and the Ayuk role, Debo, Pearsall, you know, working the other spots. I'm cool with that this year. And next year is going to be a little bit different. The one player I wanted to throw out there that was my player still on their rookie deal that I think could surprise a little bit. I came up with four names. Here are my four names. Robert Beal Jr. He can play the run. Can he finally learn how to rush the passer? Mason Plein. I would love him as the tight end three. I really, really would. Nick Sakell. Dark horse to win that left guard spot. And then Curtis Robinson. Niners love this guy. He got hurt before we could see him. There's a pathway for this guy to be the number three. Please don't bring back DFF. Let him be your special teamer number three guy. Those are some of my names. So I'll turn it over to Ant. I'll let you take it away. Do your worst, my friend.
So pick 11 is often talked about, and it's usually lots of people have been talking O-line. But I want to know, would the 49ers go outside of the box at pick 11 and not go D-line, O-line, and pick a skilled player or somebody that could make an instant impact for Kyle Shanahan on offense or defense, but not the normal, not the O-line, D-line that they normally go with?
I'm going to cheat. I'm a cheater. But if I tell you everybody up front, then that makes it okay. I want to give you two answers. My one is like a half answer because it's kind of not O-line, D-line. But my second one is big time, nobody talks about, okay? My first one is, the more I watch Jalen Walker, the more I'm like, if he's there at 11, I know we would draft him as an edge, but he played off ball. Like, you look at his snap count, okay? He hasn't played a lot. And that's why I'm like, man, I think teams might not be that in on him. But he's played 450-plus defensive line snaps. He's played 430-plus off-ball linebacker snaps. He's played 70 out in the slot. But this guy, man, the more I watch him, the more I like him. 6'2", 245. We'll see what he weighs in. That's kind of what Georgia lists. Playmaking, length, versatility, best blitzing off-ball linebacker. He's that Micah Parsons type guy. He's not Micah Parsons, that's all I'm saying. But he's that type where you could move him around. If you don't bring back Jay Greenlaw, guess what? We're going to make you be our number two linebacker. On pass rushing downs, we're going to make you blitz off the edge. Like, the opportunities with him are just incredible. The speed, the power that he brings off the edge, just an elite player that I absolutely, absolutely love. So that was my number one. Do you have any thoughts on Jalen Walker and what that would look like at 11?
Oh, I love it because you've got versatility. You've got explosiveness. You've got a player that can make plays off the edge, but has versatility, like you said, to play off-ball linebacker. I think that's huge. And the thing is, sometimes guys aren't exactly a fit for your defense, so you develop something to make them fit, right? You get the elephant position for Charles Haley. Sometimes you have to just make things work, and then it ends up taking your defense to another level. So I think he would be a guy that you could plug and play, but you could find a certain role that works for your defense, and bringing a little extra pressure with a linebacker off the edge, especially a bigger, more physical linebacker who's got some skills as far as pass rush, that would be huge. I would love that pick because when it comes to explosiveness and exciting play, he's one of the top guys at the front end of the draft.
Yeah, and again, the premise is if we don't go O-line, D-line, that's the question here because Kyle Shanahan shocks us all the time. Chad, he says, Jalen Walker reminds me of Fred Warner. Teams don't know what to think about him coming out of college. I could just see solid taking advantage. Remember, Fred Warner was a safety. He was a safety. Now he's the best linebacker. And again, I will constantly say this, the best coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL. Heard it here first is what I'm going to say. But if I had to go, no O-line, no D-line, and probably one of the things I get asked most is what if we go get Tyler Warren? Not so fast, my friend. I'm going tight end, but not the tight end you're talking about. I'm going Colston Loveland who I think is the best receiving. I think he's a better receiving tight end than Tyler Warren is. This guy, best routes of any of the tight ends, best hands, most pro ready, starter day one. Yes, he played at Michigan. I understand. Everybody don't want Michigan guys because of Jake Moody and the other guy that can't catch anything. I'm telling you right now, Colston Loveland is just the most pro ready guy that you could just plug and play at a position like tight end. That is the most difficult transition to make college to NFL. This guy, I just have no qualms about. Like, I see him and I'm just like, you know, again, would I make this pick? No. But could I see the 49ers understanding his value? 100%. This guy could do it all. You put him out there in the slot. You put him in line. He just does everything. I love this guy. And I know everybody likes what they've seen recently in Tyler Warren. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But I would argue, I think more teams will have Colston Loveland as their tight end one over Tyler Warren. Am I crazy to say that?
No, you're not. And it's interesting because all the way back in the season, my dad, it used to be a football coach, and so he will pick up on players and tell me to check them out. He picked out Colston Loveland way back in September and said, hey, you need to take a look at him. I did a tight end video the other day about free agency. My dad tells me, hey, you need to check out Colston Loveland. He loves Colston Loveland. I think that you're exactly right. This is a guy that is a superb player. He's a first-round talent all the way through, and I think that the things he can do in line and the things he can do in the receiving game are exactly what any team would want. I don't think he makes it out of the first round. I don't know if 11 would be too rich for the 49ers' blood. I think he doesn't make it past 25. But this guy is exactly what you're looking for a tight end that's going to translate to the NFL game and be able to be a productive player for the next 10 years. And that's ultimately what you want. Now, Colston Loveland would probably be tight end two for the 49ers and play, you know, 30 to 35% of the snaps when they're in their 12 and 21 or 22 personnel, that kind of thing. But you have to decide if that's worth it. But I love that thinking because he is a more complete player than Tyler Warren. Warren's got something special when it comes to the way he creates in the open field, and I think that gets a lot of people's attention, but route running, attention to detail, everything like that, Colston Loveland's a better prospect.
Yeah, and my thing is, like, why, whenever they asked Ricky Pearsall, why did they draft you? And he says, I was brought here to beat man coverage. You want to beat man coverage? Colston Loveland will eat it alive. You watch him in and out of his breaks at the top of his routes. It is, you can't stop it. So if you're going to put a safety on him and you want to play man coverage against the 49ers, you need man beaters. Colston Loveland's the best at it, the tight end, and this tight end in the draft. So those are my two answers. Did you have a curveball? I don't think I stole one of yours. I don't think. Did you have a curveball that the Niners could take at 11 if they didn't go O-line, D-line?
Not really. There's one guy, if he slips, that I think Kyle Shanahan might not be able to help himself. And that's McMillan from Arizona. I think just the size, 6'5", you know, well over 200 pounds. I mean, this dude's a playmaker. And I don't know if he falls out of the top 10 if Kyle Shanahan's like, you know what, guys? We might need to get that guy. So that's the only guy I can't trust Kyle around him at this point. I'm kind of like, you know, Alan from Hangover. Don't even look at him. Don't look at me either. Like, this just not, don't touch it. Don't do it.
We did it again. We did it again. And I'll say this. I would be shocked because, one, the Niners always say this in their post-draft prep conference. You know, we saw him on tape when we were going through the previous player that we drafted for that school, right? So you drafted Jacob Cowing, and I'm guilty of this too. I'm going through Cowing tape, and I'm like, who the hell is that guy? I wasn't familiar with this game. And so I'm like, oh, Ted McMillan, what's up? I don't watch a lot of Arizona football. But I could see John Lynch doing his little side chuckle where he looks off camera like The Office. You know what I'm talking about? He's like, you know, last year, Kyle and I were sitting there, we were talking about, and we're like, who's this guy? And I could see him saying that. Now, I just talked about how next year you're going to be in trouble. Whenever you're just going to have Pierce on, you're just going to have Ayuk under contract. Now, the extension to George Kittle kind of makes it easier. But, man, if you follow that 49ers redshirt drafting philosophy, Yeah, Tech McMillan. Yeah, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but I would be shocked. And I hope we're not here referencing when we're in the middle of the draft and we say, you remember that one time, Ant, where you said no more wide receivers. Just don't draft wide receivers. I'm not saying you can't draft any, but if I had it my way, I would not draft one wide receiver this year. You've got Ricky Pearsall.
Agreed.
You've got Jacob Cowan. Get a veteran in there at that six wide receiver spot. Let them develop. Number 11, running back inbound. There's studs there at the running back position. But, yeah, I'm just – I don't want to do it. I don't want to. But, again, I wouldn't be shocked. Ant, this has been fun. Do you have anything else that you want to throw out that perhaps we missed or I skipped over your notes because I talked too much? I want to make sure we get all of the Ant greatness that is available.
No, I think we hit on it. And, you know, this is a fun time because we still have free agency and we still have the draft. Free agency is going to plug a lot of holes for the 49ers, and then they're going to kind of figure out the draft, and I think everything will get a little bit more clear. But I think that 11 is going to be interesting because of the type of talent. And I've seen in the comments, people are talking about James Pierce. And there's just so many good players in this draft that are going to be available at 11. And just so everyone's clear, I do not believe the 49ers are going to go away from defensive line. I think it's going to be an edge rusher or a defensive tackle. But it sure is fun to think about Kyle Shanahan getting another weapon. And it could all change. I mean, they might not even pick 11 if everyone gets their way and they get Myles Garrett. So this thing could all be completely changed in a heartbeat, and I think that's what's going to be fun. We won't know until probably March when the new league year starts. We'll get a really good idea, but this is going to be a fun time, and I'm excited about it.
Oh, man, we're getting closer. And I just love the positivity that is happening. We got guys interviewing for jobs so we could get an additional third round pick out there. Come on, Josh Williams. I want him to get promoted if he wants the job. I don't know why you'd want to go work in Jacksonville with that owner and that coach, but you know, whatever. Comp picks, let's go. Let's collect them all. And I hope this positivity we're getting. Shoot, Christian McCaffrey's dad saying he's supposed to be back to 100% next week. Let's just keep it going, man. Ant, you are absolutely incredible. And wherever you are watching, listening, we're about to wrap this show up. Go type in 49ers Cutback. Wherever you watch or listen, hit subscribe, download, whatever. Support greatness because Ant is the best of the best. I just want to say thank you for your time. Appreciate you. That's going to do it for us today. And until hopefully next Thursday, we'll be back with the Coach Approach. But until then, stay strong, faithful.